Let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. Doug is right. I'm going to keep my remarks short this morning because I do want you to get to see what God is doing outside, but I want to frame it in a way, and I'm glad I had the early service because I'm going to change some things. I'm actually going to modify it so you guys are going to get a shorter message than they got, which hopefully you'll appreciate. When you're shopping, do you ever look at what people, especially grocery shopping, and let's say in a grocery like a Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, you kind of know what people are going to get if you go to Whole Foods because everyone's getting, you know, vegetables, and if you're getting stuff in the middle aisles, it's supposedly healthy anyway, so you don't tend to peek at other people's groceries. But if you go to Trader Joe's, do you ever watch what the guy next to you is putting, what they're getting? Do you ever think, I would never get that? We hate to do it, but we often compare when we have people putting their food up and think, oh, I'm like 20% of that person. But if you do find something that they eat, you tend to think, or that you want, you'll ask that. But it's very interesting, isn't it, that when we go grocery shopping, at a grocery store other than Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, Albertsons, Smith's, we do kind of compare, and if someone's a little similar to us, we'll say, I like that, but I've not tried that. Is that any good? But you'll only ask that of someone if you like what they have in their other parts, right? If they're other parts of the food. Because some of you are Kix, some are Trader, some are Captain Crunch, some are oatmeal, some are cream of wheat. Some of you are white bread, some are wheat bread, some are broccoli, some are beets, some are bacon, some are ground beef. You know what I mean? You compare what other people get. Whole milk, skim milk, or no milk, almond milk, whatever it is. We are what we eat, like our grandmas say. And it's very interesting in the scriptures, God used food as a way of helping the early Christians realize what God is doing. When God began with Abraham and said, I will be your God and you'll be my people, Abraham was marked, and his children were marked with circumcision, but they're also marked with a family meal. They're also marked as the law was developed, and these are rules to live by the way, in the Bible. These are not rules that give life. No rules give life, by the way. If you think you can know God by keeping a rule, that's not how it works. Rules don't give life. Rules are just rules to live by. God gives life. There's a big difference. God gives life through the gospel. These are just rules to live by. And God gave his people rules to live by. Part of it was a diet. They could eat everything except a cloven-hoofed animal, which we would say pork, and they could not eat shellfish, no shrimp, no scamp, no scallops, no mussels, and they couldn't put dairy on top of beef. That's essentially the kosher diet. And so they ate with God in a sacramental sense in worship, but they also ate with each other. So that food helped the Jews know who was part of their family. It determined how they do life with God and how they do life with one another. As the early church was growing, beginning from the Jewish family, a lot of non-Jewish people were coming to have faith in Jesus. And some of the early Christians thought this was rather strange, even though from the very beginning, it was said in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, that God's family is going to be a family from every nation. Abram's name was changed to Abraham because God meant that he's going to be a father of many nations. I heard an essay, or actually a presentation given by N.T. Wright, one of my favorite theologians, recently in which he was at an Old Testament, New Testament conference in the U.K. And one of the speakers there was Jonathan Salk, who happens to be the chief rabbi of the United Congregations throughout the United Kingdom. He's the head rabbi in London and in Scotland and in Ireland. And he was asked a question after the conference, what is the unique contribution you see, Rabbi, of the Christian faith? He said, what do you mean? He said, well, do you see any contribution of the Christian faith to Judaism? And he thought for a minute and said, yes, I do. I see one. He said, the Christian faith has understood that the message to Abraham was never meant to be just for Israel. The Christian faith has understood that this message of God's covenant, his promise to love us, was always a multinational promise. Now, he disagrees about Jesus, but he understands this idea that the gospel is meant to go out. Well, that's difficult for us because that means change. And in the early church, in the book of Acts, we have the Holy Spirit bringing people to faith in Jesus that are very non-traditional. In Acts chapter 8, we have someone who is an African man who's also from a non-traditional sexual background. He's a eunuch. And for you parents, you can explain to your kids what that means later. I don't want to go into that now. I did in the first service, but you can do it later, okay? I trust you guys. Do it. But there was a non-traditional sexual individual who came to faith in Jesus. He was a eunuch, and he's from North Africa, from Ethiopia. And he believed. And the early church said, are Christians supposed to be in North Africa? And are they supposed to come from a non-traditional sexual orientation? Well, he's a Christian, and he did. And then the next thing that happened, there's an Italian guy by the name of Cornelius who worked for Caesar. Now, Caesar opposed Jesus because Caesar demanded not just allegiance with your taxes, but Caesar demanded allegiance with your heart. He was a political figure that had almost theological significance, almost deistic significance, godlike significance. And Caesar, the Caesars during the time of the early church were very threatened by Christianity because Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. But Christians still pay taxes, and they didn't know how to deal with that. Christians pay taxes, but they gave their ultimate allegiance to Jesus. And here we have in Acts chapter 10, an Italian man working for Caesar who has faith in Jesus. And the church says, is this okay? Because they're not traditional. We got a military guy that works for someone whose organization largely opposes the movement of Christ. We have a North African. What's going on with a non-sexual orientation? Or a strange sexual? What do we do? What do we do? And so God gives Peter a vision about food. A food vision. Because food says a lot about family life, just like it does when you go shopping at Trader Joe's. And here's the food vision God gave Peter. God said, Peter, these people are my family members. That Ethiopian eunuch is part of my family. That Italian man, Cornelius, is part of my family. And so he had a vision of a sheet that came down from heaven, and all the foods that the Jews could not eat were on there. Bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches. Scampi and scallops. And cheeseburgers and all this stuff. Just imagine all this wonderful food. Peter said they're animals, but they're unclean animals. In other words, they're animals that they could normally eat. And the angel said to Peter, rise and eat. And Peter said, I don't eat unclean things. And then the angel said, well, the Lord said, Peter, don't call something unclean that I call clean. Eat it. This happened 3 times. Same thing. Bacon, lettuce, and tomato, shrimp, pork, all of it. And then Peter finally got the idea, oh, wait a minute. So in the family refrigerator in God's house, you are putting the food of the Ethiopians and the food of the Italians in the family refrigerator? Then that means if it's in the family refrigerator, and it's there to stay, then they have a seat at the family table. That's exactly right, Peter. If I put their food in my refrigerator, it's not just them and us. In fact, the them is us. And this is part of our diet. We eat together because we're part of the same family. We are part of the same family. Because the way the Holy Spirit works is often like, well, I call this, I try to think of an analogy. It's the way the Holy Spirit works in helping people understand Jesus. It's very much like geocaching, which is a new sport that is in Santa Fe. Do you know what geocaching is? Have you guys heard of this before? If you're an outdoor person, good, there's a few that know. That means you're outdoorsy and you're also kind of techno-nerdy. That's a combination that geocaches. This is what geocaching is. Geocaching is an outdoor adventure in which you take global positioning systems, like a GPS system, and you get these clues on your global positioning system, and there is a treasure buried somewhere out in the Santa Fe forest. And if you get the right coordinates and the right clues, you can go out there and you can look. And if you find it, you will find a Tupperware that says you have found the geocache prize. And sometimes you can take a trinket and you leave one. But there's also a clue to the next geocache thing. And so what it is then is that the treasure is already out there, and it's simply your job to go and identify what is already there. The way that God works, when it says that the word of God was spreading among the Gentiles, it's not just talking about the scriptures. It's talking about the living word of God. That's Jesus. And Jesus is geocached in the heart of the Ethiopian eunuch. And using the global positioning system called the scriptures and the Holy Spirit, Philip went out there and said, Jesus is there. That's awesome. Is this normal? And the same thing with Cornelius. They're using the scriptures and Jesus is there. Is this normal? This is normal. So what happened is that God is essentially saying to his people, I am going out to the nations, and the way that you know that they belong to me is that I'm putting their food in my refrigerator, and their food is now part of your food. Their food is now part. It's not unclean. They're part of my family now, and it's there all the time. It's always going to be stocked because they have the right to be at my table. And your joy as my children is to understand I'm working in the hearts of all different kinds of people, geocaching in their hearts. Geocaching in their hearts. And that's why when Peter saw this and did this, he simply said to the people, who are we to resist the work of God? God is going out and bringing them in, and he's putting their food in our refrigerator. That means they belong to us too. What we're doing here at Christ Church Santa Fe with the expansion of the campus is simply putting the food of the city of Santa Fe in our refrigerator. Because it's not just them, it's us. What do I mean the food of the city in our refrigerator? Well, if you look in your bulletin, I want you to see on page 15, and you'll get a larger picture of this in about 3 minutes, of where we are. If you look at the expansion of the building plan, the existing campus right now is only about 30%. We are building, we have about 10,000 square feet right now that we're occupying. We're adding another 20,000. So do you see in the bottom right where it says Worship Arts Center? That's where you all are sitting. That's the big triangle. To the left is the Commons, which is over here to the west. And outside the Commons, you'll see old kitchen and restrooms. Just those three areas, that's the existing area. Everything else on the campus is brand spanking new. Big honkin' addition. Big honkin' addition. Now, what is ironic, and it's not really ironic, I think it's somewhat, it's God's providence, is right in the middle of the expansion of God's house, in the middle of the house, look where it says new kitchen. Do you all see that? It's almost right in the middle. What's the new kitchen? Well, the new kitchen symbolizes all the things that are important to the city of Santa Fe and the city and us as a community. And we're putting some of their food in our refrigerator. Okay, I know it's symbolic, but what do I mean by that? Well, Santa Fe is a story of is a city of art. Art is very important here. Storytelling is important here. Telling your own story, of learning God's story. The Bible is God's story, of learning from one another through dialogue. Do you see that theater that's above the kitchen there? You know what that is? That is the city's food in our refrigerator. That theater is going to be used, God willing, for the Santa Fe Film Festival. It's going to be used by the college kids at the College of Art and Design where they can show their movies. It's going to be used by you kids as you make your movies and tell your stories about your life. It's going to be used by plays. It's going to be used with music. It's going to be used by Rabbi Marvin because they get five events in our building because we get 5 days of mission camp there. By the way, Marvin might do a joint Woody Allen Film Festival on the theology of Woody Allen with the synagogue because that was the deal. We made a deal. Martin and Marvin made a deal together. If you give us 5 events for free, you get 5 events for free. And he said, deal. Isn't that awesome? So, and it's right behind us. We get the whole synagogue. You kids get the whole synagogue, by the way. Everything. They got a playground. They got even their holy room. He said, you could have our, I said, well, I don't know about that. We don't have to have that. But just give us your commons and all this stuff. So it's really, God is so kind. But anyway, they're going to tell their story. We're going to tell our stories. So the theater is an example of having what's important to the city be important to us. See that large plaza area? Friendships are important in Santa Fe. And one of the great things that God has used and on our growth here is the friendships that you all create before, after, and I know even during services as you walk in late or walk out early and you go out there and talk. We wanted to build a beautiful plaza area where you all can hang out, make friends, pray for one another, get to know each other's family. Because what happens then is that you go out and meet each other and you pray for one another and you get involved in each other's lives. So we got a big plaza area there. To the north of that and a little to the left, we have a huge children's area because we want to disciple our kids. Santa Fe is a great place to live. I was talking to someone this last week who grew up in Santa Fe. And I said, why did you stay when others left? And they said, you know, when we were in high school, the high school used to be the old, where the convention center is. The high school was right down by the plaza. So kids would go to the Five and Dime after school, and they were surrounded by all the art of the city. And so they grew up, and because they were there every day, they learned to appreciate the art. And when they went to other parts of the country, they realized that they don't have what we have. And so they stayed. And I thought, you know what? I want that to happen again. I want our plaza, our kids to love our plaza and be surrounded by art and God and friends and fun and Jesus and good food and maybe finding a spouse and growing up and learning how to live in Santa Fe so that they can do what the generations before in Santa Fe did. They can appreciate the greatness of this city. So we're putting the food of the city in our refrigerator because that's what God does. He says, don't call unclean what I have made clean. So please understand, as we look at this building, we're not just going to provide a product for people. We are geocaching. God is working in all kinds of people in the city. All kinds of people in the city. And we're just going to identify it. And we're going to give them a place where they can work out their story in following Jesus. So if you would you please put on a jacket if you have a jacket? Follow me outside. We're going to go to three different spots. And please take these bulletin with you. We're going to do the Lord's Prayer together in three different sections. And you'll see it on page 16. Not on page 14, thank you. So if you would please, grab your jackets and follow. Yes, we'll be on the asphalt the whole time. So please join us outside as you get to see what's going on. We're also going to give you an 8.5 by 11 diagram of our new construction. So let's go outside for just a few minutes. Then we'll come back for the Eucharist.